coming up on All Access.
Super School of Excellence never stops, today included. We do it for each other.
They're so disruptive.
How about tackling, get everybody in the ball, awareness now, right? No big plays, be alert on the next beat of 10.
Steps up, throws down the middle, touchdown, with a catch by Brandon Cooks.
Good job, man. Nice job, Cookie.
When we play our ball, we good, fella. Huh? We got a lot left, come on.
Call that throw to the meathead left right there. Little fullback in the flat. That's the old Sam Gash, Kevin Turner play.
I didn't really know how far football would take me, but I knew I had to kind of see it through, and it took me to a bunch of different places that I never thought I'd be.
My routine is setting up 120 bears to watch every game.
Ta-da!
When we have superstitions, the fan who's over-identified often gets into something we might call magical thinking.
And I sit on this couch during games, and then if, you know, there's a three and out, you switch back.
It's a really good opportunity for our team to improve, and we need to take advantage of the time that we have and be able to play our best game next Saturday night. That's really what it comes down to.
The regular season is over. Let the postseason begin. Hello and welcome to Patriots All Access presented by GEICO. I'm Steve Burton. Not so fast on postseason play, as New England has earned a well-deserved first-round bye and the number one seed, which means the road to Minnesota must go through Foxborough. That road begins on January 13th at 8:15 right here at Gillette Stadium. We'll discuss the possible playoff opponents and look ahead to the divisional round. But first, let's wrap up the regular season with a look back at the sights and sounds from the win over the Jets.
A lot of people think they want to do this, but everybody ain't able, fellas. And days like today is why we're out here.
Yes, sir.
To make plays.
The sounds of the game are brought to you by Bose, the official sound of the New England Patriots.
Welcome to Foxborough's Gillette Stadium. Brady takes the snap. Hit by Amendola. Collar down. The Amendola's foot race to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Good drive. Good drive. Nice way to start.
They're so disruptive.
Hello, tackling. Get everybody the ball. Awareness now. All right. No big plays. Be alert on the next beat of 10. Sort of move play action. All right, try to move the field position here. All right, let's be alert, okay? Everybody good?
Yeah.
All right, let's keep going fast, man. Lock in now, boys. Lock in. Keep it going, huh?
We just got to get into the drive, huh? That's all we got to do. Get into the drive.
Deion Lewis makes the catch.
Go, go, go. Go!
Steps up, throws down the middle, touchdown, with a catch by Brandon Cooks.
Good job, man. Nice job, Cookie.
When we play our ball, we good, fellas.
Huh?
We got a lot left. Come on.
All I know is this. I'm not disappointed in anything right now. I like what you're doing. Let's just keep doing it, all right? And things, good things will happen to us.
Up the middle, he goes down. Nowhere to go for Bryce Petty with Marquise Flowers straight up the middle.
Hey, nice job.
Amendola motions motions across the formation with Lewis in the back. The play making a bootleg right from Brady. A throw to Lewis in the flat. He runs to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
Nice job.
Nice job. That's it, Deion.
Good job, man. All right? Be disciplined with our technique. Make sure we're reading the quarterback and breaking, all right? Great tackling all the way across the board. Pretty good on that? All right, let's do a good job here now.
Quarterback with a shotgun snap. The throw across the middle, caught by Robbie Anderson. Nice. Drilled by James Harrison.
It's Hill number 92, I know.
Hey, man, let's keep playing, baby. That's a smart play on that empty. Nice job. I'll take that every time.
Happy New Year, Mr. Pratt.
Good job, buddy.
Good job, David.
Great game.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
Hell yeah. Happy New Year. 13-3, baby.
All right, man. Congratulations. At 13-3, that's pretty solid year.
Yes,
pretty
sir. Solid.
You know, there's a lot of good things out there today. Defensively, 6 points, safety, 0 for 11 on third down, pretty good. Three inside the five. All right, Ryan Slate, punt
yeah.
team.
Damn yeah, man.
So we can get a lot better this week. All right, if we really get to work and grind it out, let's enjoy it here. All right, we'll see you Wednesday. All right.
Yeah.
We come out here in 2 weeks. We all about business. But fellas, that being said, how do we feel about 13-3?
Oh, yeah! All right,
boys. Oh, you gotta love sights and sounds. Joining me now is Mike Reese and Paul Perillo. Let's talk about this Jets game. Did they accomplish what they wanted to accomplish, the Patriots, that is?
Yeah, I think they did. I think they still had something to play for in locking up that number one seed, and I think that they were able to accomplish that, obviously. And I also think they seemed to get out without losing any more personnel. Mm-hmm. I thought, you know, they protected Gronkowski a little bit. He got a nice day from Deion Lewis, maybe probably a little bit more of a workload than you would have liked, but you know, you needed to win the game. So, yeah, I think they got done what they needed to accomplish.
Let me just start in the words of Bill Belichick. Happy New Year.
Happy New
How
Year,
about that
right?
in the locker room after the game? I love that. I think they did. I was going to say no injuries, so I'll go even deeper. Yeah. I thought third down defense. You know, that to me would have been a huge talking point going into the playoffs. Held the Jets to 0 of 12 on third down. Now, I know it's the Jets, and you have to keep that in context. Well, I could tell what you were thinking. We've been doing this for so long, Paul, you know. And you do have to keep that in context. I mean, the team that they play in the playoffs, the next one will be better than what they face with the Jets. But I like what I saw on defense from them on third down.
Did James Harrison impress you more than you expected?
No, about what I expected.
Really?
I thought that was another thing that they accomplished, you know, quite frankly. You get him, you know, Mike, you'll have the exact numbers, but probably around 50% of the snaps. I thought he was out there and looked like he still had his playing strength. I thought he was pretty tough, you know, on the edge, setting the edge. The run defense, you know, was part of that over 12 on third down. The run defense was outstanding, and I thought he was part of that. There was one early run that got around Eric Lee's edge, and you saw why I think Belichick felt he needed Harrison. I think he put an end to some of those plays.
And the actual numbers were 27 snaps for him out of 57. And so good
Close
percentage.
Enough.
Yeah, good percentage for Harrison. And I think the setting the edge and the running game, the physical at the line of scrimmage, the physical play is what he brings. And I thought even though they were at the end of the game, the two sacks, you know, even though you know it's a passing situation,
right.
He showed you that he can still play with power. Motor never stops, and that'll help him.
All right, let's look ahead. Are the Patriots in a great position? Are they where you thought they would be, and where do you expect them to be going forward?
Yeah, you know, it's to me, that's a complicated issue. I think they're exactly where I thought they would be, one or two seed. I didn't think there was any doubt about that. I figured, you know, that they're going to be a team playing in mid and late January. And I think they're in a good spot. I think they're playing reasonably well. I think the defense has done a better job of holding the points down over the last half of the season. But at the same time, I don't think the team is playing exceptionally well. Now, the flip side of that is I don't think there are teams in the AFC that are playing exceptionally well either. I look at it and I say, okay, this is not a Super Bowl team that I'm watching every week for the Patriots. But who's going to beat them? And I don't have an answer to that, Steve. I just don't see anybody at their level.
And if we were going through all the years they've been in the playoffs and you were to ask the question, what's your confidence level in this team relative to 2016, 2015? It would actually be lower, you know, this year to me than past years. I don't think they're as good of a Patriots team as we've seen in some recent years.
But
under
do they
Bill
need
Belichick.
To be?
And that's the thing, Steve. You just took it right out of my mouth because I think the overall field in the AFC is as weak as I've seen in recent years in the playoffs.
All right, guys, don't go far.
Looking forward to it.
We'll talk about that field later on in the show. We'll be back with more Patriots All Access right after this.
Coming up on All Access.
Meet some unique Patriots fans.
I kind of like to collect things, and the Patriots have been providing me with lots of stuff to collect.
But first, we sit down with Patriots fullback James Devlin.
You know, whenever you can lend an eye to some games on TV, I'm obviously going to take full advantage of it.
You're watching Patriots All Access.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots. By Putnam Investments, proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. And by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Welcome back to All Access, presented by Geico. An off week for the Patriots? As Dan Roach tells us, this is an important work week for the team.
And the Patriots will head to the postseason.
They've checked off their regular season boxes. 13 wins, top seed in the AFC, a bye, and home field advantage in the playoffs.
You know, we started 2-2, and 13-3 is pretty good, and to get the number one seed, so our biggest games are ahead of us.
And before the postseason, a bye week, where the Pats got a chance to practice twice, watch film, and self-assess.
This week is about us focusing on, you know, the Patriots and how we can improve, because our mentality needs to be that of, okay, we need to continue to work towards improvement.
Seeing how teams are attacking us, where we can get better at, the things we are doing well and can still improve on. So it's the biggest self-assessment. We got to try to find a way to get better.
Having a week off also gives the regulars additional time to heal up their bumps and bruises, while also allowing the possibility of some of the injured to return.
We're fortunate to be in a position where we have an extra week to probably, or I should say hopefully, get some guys back. Depending on how it goes, we'll be looking forward to those guys hopefully returning.
As for this weekend, yes, it's a chance to rest up, but there's TV scouting to do as well, as now is not the time to let up.
I don't really think you need to unplug to play in one game, you know, so you unplug too much and you come back and you're not ready, that's the end of your season. So usually for the bye week during the season, I might watch 20 minutes of football on Sunday. But like this weekend, I'll be watching the games and seeing all of that. You know, to put in all that work to get a bye week and then you come back and, you know, you lose that game. Like my rookie year is kind of like, well, you know, you just sit there and say, I wish I did more.
And next Saturday night, the Patriots will be hosting their eighth straight divisional playoff game. That is an NFL record. From the CBS scene for Patriots All Access, I'm Dan Roach.
All right, Danny, thank you very much. Joining me now is Patriots fullback James Devlin. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Steve.
It's the bye week.
Yes, sir.
How do you feel about the bye week? What will you do?
Well, we're kind of going to take a little bit of an introspective look, you know, a little bit of a look in the mirror and kind of just try to improve as much as we possibly can on the fundamentals of the game, the small stuff that, you know, might kind of slip, you know, through our fingers during the regular season when you have so much to focus on. Mm-hmm. And so really, we got to just take advantage of all this time that we do have and really try to, you know, get positives from it and just, you know, try to perform better.
Will you watch games this weekend?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is an important time of year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, whenever you can lend an eye to some games on TV, you know, obviously going to take full advantage of it.
All right. So my next question is, what are you? Are you a running back or are you a tight end? because you warm up with the tight ends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I meet with the tight ends and all that, but I think I'm a fullback, you know? I mean, I'm a little bit of both, I guess, but, you know, we just don't have, you know, a specific fullback coach, so I tend to go with the tight ends and, you know, try to learn as much as I possibly can, you know, tight end position stuff and then running back stuff and just kind of take it all in.
Well, obviously, you've learned a lot because this year you were elected to the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, yeah.
When you got the news, how'd that make you feel? How'd you respond?
Oh, it's a great honor. You know, it's something I'm really thankful for, you know, all the fans that voted and, you know, and then the guys across the league, coaches, players. You know, it's a huge honor and something I take very seriously. You know, it was very, very humbling and a cool experience.
You know, now that you've been elected to the Pro Bowl, mm-hmm. obviously that's a great honor. But you hope you don't even play in the game, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the main goal is to, you know, to obviously accept the honor, but just to not have the opportunity to play. Hopefully I'll be in Minnesota that week. So,
think about how far you've come.
Mm-hmm.
Player at Brown.
Yeah.
Played in the Arena League. Football's been very, very good to James Devlin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, when I was coming out of school, you know, I didn't really know how far football would take me, but I knew I had to kind of see it through and at least take a shot and play football wherever I could. And it took me to a bunch of different places that I never thought I'd be, but it taught me a lot about myself. And I owe a lot of just the person I am today to the game of football.
In fact, you changed positions, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I played DN at Brown and then DN in the Arena League, and then I started playing fullback when I was in the United Football League and then, you know, in the NFL.
Playoff time.
Mm-hmm.
You ramp it up even more?
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir.
All right.
Got to.
It's a bye week. Enjoy it. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
James Devlin, our guest. We'll be back with more Patriots All Access right after this.
Time now for Coffee with the Coach, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access. Here we are during the bye week, sitting down with the coach, Coach Belichick, and you guys finish up the regular season 13-3. And I know there's a lot of work to be done, but how proud of you are of your team?
You know, it was really a good year in that respect. Scott, you know, started off 2-2.
Yeah.
And you know, went 11-1 the rest of the way. It's hard to win 13 games in this league, and these guys really grounded out, especially after, you know, not really being where we wanted to be, let's call it, at the end of September. But team's very resilient. They're tough. They compete every day. And we got better, and that's really the key to a long season in the NFL is continuing to improve.
I want to go back to that stretch in September where you did start 2-2. Things have changed in the National Football League. I think you've adapted really well as to, you know, what you can and what you can't do in camp and sort of how September's, and you've talked about being an extension of the preseason. What changed from that point in September that improved your team the most to allow you to win 11 of the next 12?
I think it's just a day-by-day process. I don't think there was any one switch that got flipped. Just, you know, everybody doing a little better job, a little better coaching, a little better playing, a little more consistency. The three units coming together, playing complementary football, offense, defense, special teams. And it's just been kind of inch by inch. I don't think you can make that kind of progress in one day or one weekend. But over the course of time and continuing to work hard and compete on the practice field, that those things transfer to the game. And, you know, we've been able to play at a decent level here for a while.
You've lucked out, too, with weather, I think, throughout the course of your year. Yet last week, a little Arctic chill here. You took the team outside to practice. How much did that prepare you and get you ready for what transpired on Sunday to be one of the coldest games in Foxborough?
We did kind of luck into that. I think Thursday's weather was very similar to what Sunday afternoon's was. So the time was about the same. The weather was similar. And it just gave us, I think, an opportunity to feel what it was like, the wind, the cold, the ball handling. But the wind was certainly a factor in the game as it was in practice. And a lot of the balls carried kind of similarly to what they did on the Thursday practice setting. So that was good, and we were able to teach from that film, the practice film, and had some similar situations come up in the game.
How big of a week is this for your team? Because really, it's about you. You technically, you don't know who you're playing yet, but as far as getting a lot of the guys healthy who have been out, maybe this week helps them, and also correcting some things and fixing some things and maybe installing some new things.
Yes, all of the above. I think this is a really good opportunity for our team to improve, and we need to take advantage of the time that we have and be able to play our best game next Saturday night. That's really what it comes down to, is doing everything we can to optimize our performance next Saturday night, whoever that's against. And as you said, there are a lot of things that we can work on this week that are just about us. Doesn't matter who we play. We just need to be able to do a good job with our execution or handle the situations that come up and prepare for those.
Okay, time now for the Ace Ticket Twitter question of the week, and it comes from at J.K. Maletic. Deal with all these internet names. Let's ask, what's the biggest advantage of playing at home, specifically in the playoffs? What's the number one advantage other than crowd noise? Or
I think the most important thing is to play well in the playoffs. Okay. And you know, we've seen wild card teams go all the way to the Super Bowl, and we've seen home teams win at home. We've seen home teams lose at home. So I think it's all about playing well, and that's what we have to do next Saturday night. We have to play our best game. I'd rather be playing well than playing in a particular place, but it's always good to play at home.
One of the coolest things about this question, and we've gotten a lot of these all years, he ends it with, "Thank you, Mr. Belichick. Go Pats." So, you like those. All right, if you want to ask the coach a question, probably do this a couple more times this year. You got to follow the team on Twitter, at Patriots, hashtag it, AskBB. No opponent this week, Belistrator, some plays of the week?
Plays of the week.
All right, sounds good. Everybody hang tight. More Patriots All Access right after this, then we got the Belistrator.
Coming up on All Access.
Meet some very inspired Patriots fans.
It's in your head that if I do this, that it will actually help the team win.
And later, what were Coach Belichick's picks for plays of the week?
You know, score on defense, that's always a good way to finish the game.
You're watching Patriots All Access.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Gillette, official shave of the New England Patriots. By the Massachusetts State Lottery. Visit a lottery retailer today for the new 5x champions ticket. And by Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner. This player profile is brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Patriots fans come in all shapes and sizes and have been treated to some of the best football over the past 18 seasons. We want to introduce you to some unique fans we found and their stories.
Hi, my name is Carol, and I'm an extreme Patriot fan, from my head to my toes. I kind of like to collect things, and the Patriots have been providing me with lots of stuff to collect. My routine is setting up 120 bears to watch every game. It is very critical that every bear be able to see the television set. They have to watch the game. So it sometimes can take a while to get them all positioned so that everybody can see the TV set. When we have a home game, we're leaving the TV set on for them so they can watch the game, too. This is a picture of what started my fan club with just one Build-A-Bear and my Drew Bledsoe bear. And then we went to this. Ta-da! If it's an away game, we kind of have to be in the living room, too. So the bears get the couch. We have to rearrange the furniture a little so that we have a place to watch the game. Most of my family, and particularly my brother, thinks I'm a little crazy. It's just been a really good experience to be behind this team.
Psychologically, everybody wants to feel as though they belong to something.
Oh, boy. Is it rolling? So we're definitely loyal to Tom Brady and the rest of the Patriots. We try to come off as, you know, a little more sane.
Yes, that's true.
Than maybe some others.
When we have superstitions, the fan who's over-identified often gets into something we might call magical thinking.
Well, yeah.
So you know, we don't really eat much during the games.
Having the lights on versus off.
I mean, I sit on this couch during games, and then if, you know, there's a three and out, you switch back.
When I was heating up food, I started doing Patriots numbers, so 12 or 11, even if it was supposed to be heated for like a minute and a half, it just like add up.
Magical thinking is something that happens more so in childhood.
It sounds obsessive, but anything to change the tide of the game, we don't
really want
to mess with it.
We try to go to Mass every week, where instead of putting $10 in the basket, you put an extra $2 to make it $12 for Brady instead of Eli Manning. That didn't work, but God works in mysterious ways, so.
Ultra fans will think that they have control over what happens. It's a very interactive process.
I think like sometimes
it's in your head that if I do this, if so-and-so does this, that it will actually help the team win. And we've had our mother here for some games, which usually hasn't worked out that great. She has her own seating arrangement upstairs in her bedroom.
You know, it's very tense down here. The dog is afraid to come downstairs.
Usually I'm in the fetal position.
And then these folks actually believe that they're making it happen. And who's to say they're not?
I'm confident that some of the superstitions will definitely help the Patriots win.
People are latching on to sports, I believe, because it's the toy box of life, and it makes you feel better.
Patriots tackle Nate Solder and his wife Lexi visited Dana-Farber Cancer Institute in Boston earlier this week to surprise one of their favorite people on the staff.
Lisa was the first person to come to mind because she's always here. She's always pouring out her heart. And she organizes these incredible events that we've gone to, the Christmas party, the summer event, and the amount of balls she has to juggle and the things that she does and the people that she impacts is amazing.
Okay.
Okay.
So, Lisa?
Yes?
You've been so wonderful to our family, and you are so wonderful to so many families, and you've done it for so long, and we love you so much that we wanted to let you know we have 2 tickets for you to go to the Super Bowl in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
You're going to the Super Bowl.
I can't even, you people don't get me, like, what is going on? I'm like shaking.
So much for the man of the
year. I'm done talking about you now.
This is all for you.
Big tickets.
Yeah, you have to bring those. You have to bring those. We love you so much.
What did I think was happening today was certainly nothing to do with me at all. And it was supposed to be about the Solder family and just, you know, how amazing they are with as being parents and just really getting the word of cancer out there. It just means the world to us when it's the parents that actually have the praise and sort of thank us. That's what means everything. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you for everything that you do, too.
We don't do well with praise and stuff. It's so great. It's so great. But I said the deal is only if he's there, so that's
it. We'll work on it.
Yeah, we'll work on it. That's right. Going to Super Bowl! Oh, my God!
Welcome back to Patriots All Access. Time now during the bye week for the Belustrator. Now no opponent this week. So we're going to take a look at some of the big plays in your season finale against the Jets in the plays of the week. So here we go. First series, looks like one Robert potentially here, right?
Yeah, and this was third down. So we had a pretty good day on third down defensively. And it's always good to get off to an early start on third down with a quarterback hit or a quarterback sack. And in this case, it was a real good pass rush here up front. Penetration by Adam Butler up the middle, and we come around here with Marquise Flowers on the sack, and You know, Wise doing a good job of keeping the edge over here on this right side. Just in his own defense, really, the quarterback doesn't have much chance to throw the ball. And
nowhere to go.
That's good pass rush. So
sure, and it goes to show your depth, too, throughout the course of the year. Here's a bunch of guys, you know, maybe, you know, back in August, you didn't think you'd be making these type of plays this late in the year, but yet, next guy up mentality. There you go.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
And this was, I thought, really a big play for us. 23 seconds to go in the half, and we were able to move the ball into scoring position and end up with a touchdown here. This is a misdirection play, so Danny comes across in motion, and the whole line runs to the offensive left. And really the idea here is to distract the middle linebacker, Davis, who has Deion in man-to-man coverage. But that this movement by the line and the motion and just kind of the action here, hopefully is just enough to distract Davis to keep him from getting through here to get to Deion. And these receivers, Dorsett and Cooks, both go inside and drag their guys with them. And at this point, Deion's got just enough to get outside of the linebacker and the nickelback screen. And Tom gives it to him and goes in for the touchdown. But big touchdown before the half. Good job of clock management.
Similar to the type of play you ran down in Miami, down in tight two, or a little bit of a rollout. And I think it was Deion, or maybe it was James at that time. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. Okay, 21-3. Here we go.
Well, so another third down situation, third down and five. And, you know, we'll talk about a lot of things and schemes and so forth. But in the end, it always comes down defensively to tackling. So on this play, the Jets are running a crossing pattern here, you know, at the back and the slot receiver and tight end, and all kind of crossing and trying to create some space here in the middle of the defense. And the ball's thrown to Anderson, and James Harrison comes up here and makes a tackle. But, again, defense really is all about leverage and tackling. If you do a good job of that, you can play defense. If you don't do a good job, then it doesn't matter what you're in or what they run. It's just not a good play if you can't leverage the ball and tackle it. So good open field tackle there by Harrison.
Great one, too. Guys get excited here, too, for him. New guy.
You bet.
All right.
You bet. This third down stop. Here's another one. Third down and nine. And this is similar to the play we saw a couple weeks ago against the Steelers, where the Jets are in a 3-by-1 formation, and then on the snap, the players kind of drop out and create an open area in the middle. And this is Devin McCourty coming down to kind of fill that space up. And as Petty delivers the ball there, Devin you know, drops into that spot. And once again, it's all about leverage and tackling. And this is a good tackle here, short of the first down. Good wrap up on the tackle, and we're off the field.
Okay, so good complimentary stuff. We saw some action down and tight with Tom on the rollout, good defensive tackling, and then you get a 4th and 7 here, and special teams and how important they are, especially with the weather and elements.
Right. So, and this was, you know, really a play where, you know, we got the ball at the 34-yard line. It's a 52-yard field goal with a, you know, tough wind, tough conditions. So we like to go with a punt here, and this is really well executed. Ryan Allen did a great job for us all day, punting both into and with the wind, plus 50 and backed up punts. And that combined with Matt Slater down here, Slater getting a good release on the gunner.
Great release.
And really it's just a throw and catch down here to Slater on the 4-yard line. So very good punt, great placement. You know, it's a lot of time on the practice field between Ryan and Slater working on a play like this, and it's nice to see it so well executed in game conditions to be able to, you know, back the Jets up here, put them on a long field on the 4-yard line.
Great attention to detail, and those balls are hard to kick, too. I mean, they're rock hard.
They are. It was a tough day to kick, tough day to throw and catch, but Ryan did a great job, and again, his placement on that ball was excellent. So that brings up a 3rd down and 7 situation, and you know, score on defense, that's always a good way to finish the game. Once again, some penetration by Butler up the middle prevents Petty from stepping up. And as he tries to buy a little bit of time in the pocket, you know, Lee and Wise both are in very good position. So there's no step-up lane inside. Once the quarterback moves out, then, you know, Lee comes off the tackle and we get the sack for a safety. So this is also, of course, good coverage in the secondary. We have good man-to-man coverage here, so we're, you know, we're matched up on all the receivers. It's really nobody clearly open for the quarterback to throw to. He holds the ball for a second to try to, you know, extend the play, and good way to finish the game. Good defensive stop and a really good day on third down for the defense.
I know you got a lot to work on. I know you had Bob Soucy last week. You did a fantastic job. But I remember that documentary. You asked Ernie Adams about Wally Pipp. So I made sure I got back. I'm a competitor. So I'd get back at it. So there you go. Plays of the week in the Bellustrator. Enjoy the bye week, everybody. More of All Access back right after this.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Bank of America, official bank of the New England Patriots. By Putnam Investments, you, your advisor, and Putnam, pursuing excellence through the power of teamwork.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access, everyone. Back now in our panel discussion with Mike Reese and Paul Perillo in our Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. Is this team now the team we're going to see in the playoffs? And what I mean by that is injuries. And I want to start out with Hogan.
Yeah, I think there's a chance that you might see him back. And you know, I thought that Monday night game that he came back, it coincided with the Gronk suspension. I thought they felt like they might need one more proven weapon that night. I think in retrospect, they maybe rushed him back a little bit. But, basing it on nothing, Steve, but I think he has a chance to be back. And I think he can play in the playoffs, and I think that's fairly important, Mike, to get another guy that Tom trusts, especially with the ability outside the numbers.
So you think Hogan's back. What about Rex Burkhead?
I think he's definitely back. I mean, they've been managing him, and he's got the knee injury. Mm-hmm. And why is that important, Steve? The dual-threat running back. He can be your power guy at the goal line if you need him. He can catch passes. They like to run the two running back grouping where they put him and maybe James White, you know, together out there. So I think he'll really help coming back.
You mentioned James White.
Yeah, I think the same thing. To get another guy in the mix and – obviously, if one or the other can play, I think that's huge. But if you get them both back and you're at full strength, and to Mike's point, you don't necessarily want Deion Lewis to get 25 carries every single game. I know there's potentially only 3 games left if all goes well, but that's asking a lot of them. So you get Burkhead back for some goal line stuff. You get White back to catch some of the passes out of the backfield. You take those touches down for Deion.
Do they all come back all at once? What about Alan Branch?
Yeah, and I think he will also be back, the reason being they haven't put him on injured reserve yet. And if they didn't think he had a chance, I think he'd be on IR with another knee injury situation there. And if he comes back, I think it's Ricky Jean-Francois who would probably be the odd man out at that defensive tackle.
Coaching situations, the two coordinators, Matt Patricia, Josh McDaniels, are they gone?
Yeah, it certainly seems like the party's coming to an end. You know, guys are reaching for their coats, getting ready to go. And I think at some point, Josh McDaniels and Matt Patricia, more so with Josh, you keep getting quartered and you keep turning everybody down. At some point, they're going to stop asking, right? I think there are some jobs that are interesting. They're not all train wreck situations. Mm-hmm. You know, situations like the Giants, for an example, I think a pretty stable franchise. I think there are some situations it looks like they're going to go, Mike.
Remember 2005 when they lost Charlie Weiss and Romeo Crennel and they sort of had what we would call a reboot? I think we're looking at a reboot here in terms of both those guys with good opportunities that they're looking at. And, you know, if you pass, you never know if they're going to come around again. So to me, the question would be, if you're the Patriots, how do you sort of go through that reboot? And I almost would look at it from a positive standpoint and say, Bill Belichick, mid-60s, like this is a chance to re-energize things. Maybe, who knows? Maybe bring in like Greg Schiano, and I'm just spitballing some stuff. I think that would, give him a little boost. But I think they're going to have some decisions to make at those spots.
Change is on the horizon. All right, Wildcard Weekend's coming up. Tennessee, Buffalo's at Jacksonville, Tennessee's at Kansas City.
Yeah.
Who do you see the Patriots facing, and who's going to give the Patriots the toughest time?
Yeah, I think it's going to end up being Kansas City. I think that Jacksonville will be able to – it's going to be interesting. Those two teams that haven't had any playoff experience, but I think they'll be able to take care of business, and I think Kansas City is a better team than Tennessee. And unlike most times in this divisional round game that Dan Shaughnessy dubs the tomato can round, I think Kansas City would have a chance of coming here and giving the Patriots a game.
I'm with Paul. I think it'll be Kansas City. And here's the way I look at it with this Patriots team. I mean, we talked about it earlier in the show. I mean, I think if they play their game, they can beat anyone. But if they don't play their game, they can lose to anyone.
Right.
And we've seen enough examples of that over the course of the season. Miami Monday night being probably tops on the list. Some of the games they won, we could argue they were fortunate to win them, or they shouldn't even have been that, as close as they were. So I think anything can happen, Steve. That's sort of the dynamic of this playoff for the Patriots.
All right, your final thoughts. Do you feel solid? Do you feel real good about the position that the Patriots are in?
I feel solid-ish.
Ish.
I agree. I thought Mike put it perfectly. I think that if you look at your confidence level you know, some of the teams in the recent past, 14, even 15, that didn't go to the Super Bowl in 16, I thought much higher of those teams going into the playoffs right. than I do this. But at the same time, I think I feel less of the competition than I did.
And that's a credit to the players and the coaches for being in the position they are with the team that they have. And so it's almost like taking what's not necessarily a positive thought, this team isn't as good as some of the past Patriots teams, but turning it into a positive in that look at what they accomplished because they're mentally and physically tough. And that's what Bill Belichick, what I've heard from him, you know, the teams that are his championship teams, they're mentally and physically tough. And those are the teams when you get to the playoffs, you say, I'll take my best shot with them.
All right. Guys, great job as usual.
All right, it'll be fun.
It's a bye week. Of course, it's not a bye week for us. That will do it for this week's edition of Patriots All Access. For Mike Reese and Paul Perillo, I'm Steve Burton. Have a great week, everybody.